Well, once again, welcome to the Grand Canyon Community Church. My name's Mike Scott. I'm the chair of our board. I'm filling in today. We do have a congregational meeting after the service. Those of you who are members, I would ask you to stay. It'll be very brief. We have little written ballots where you can say yes or no. Those of you who are visiting, and we love to have you with us, there will be some coffee and cookies out in the foyer. So you can get started on that, and then the congregation will join you. As you may know, two or three weeks ago now, I went to ACMNP training camp held up in Colorado. It was interesting to me, at least, that on the way back, I was listening to a Sunday morning station, and they were conducting an interview with a gentleman by the name of N.T. Wright. N.T. Wright is an Episcopal theologian, very famous Bible study. You quite often see him on TV shows and all of that stuff. One of these guys that speaks eight or nine languages. We had spoken probably 6 weeks ago now about the Greek different forms of love. They had a word for each kind of love, from erotic love to steadfast love to philia, which is brotherly love, and the highest one, agape, which is godlike love, self-sacrificing love. So as it happens, N.T. Wright was speaking on John 21, and these different forms of love in the Greek really play a significant part. And that's what I want to talk to you about. So in your bulletin today, we find in John 21, beginning at verse 9, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So some commentators think that chapter 21 is a late addition to the Gospel of John. After all, he sort of finished his gospel at the end of chapter 20 when he told us he was doing this so we would know the things Jesus did so all of us would come to believe. So the first word that N.T. Wright spoke about that we should concentrate on, and that's the word burning coals. In the Greek, that's anthracitus. So that's probably where we get anthracite coal from. But I think they were really talking about charcoal. It's only used one other time in the New Testament. And that's when Peter, standing around the fire of burning coals, denies Jesus three times. So he made a public denial of Christ three times. That's probably why three times he is asked if he loves Jesus. The parallels are there. If we were reading Greek, which, believe me, I'm not. I got all of this from a third source. That connection would have been quite apparent to us. So chapter 21, I think, is there because it's where Jesus restores Peter. Peter has made a public denial. He's been so upset by it that he went out and wept bitterly. And now he's back. He recognizes the Lord. Earlier in the chapter, he puts on his cloak and jumps off the boat and runs through the water in his enthusiasm to be with Jesus. But he still hasn't been fully reconciled from his sin. So what's going on here is, I think Jesus is asking Peter if he loves, and that's uses the word agape, if you really sincerely love me with a self-sacrificing love. And Peter answers, well, I love you philia, which means I love you like a brother in arms. He can't quite yet get to where he was. And maybe it's because after his very public denial of Christ, when he stood up and said, oh, no matter what, Lord, I'll stand by you even to the death. And then he went out and did something different. So maybe this time he's a little more abashed, a little more willing to realize that he has a ways to go. So the second time, again, Jesus asks him, do you love me, agape love? And he answers, I love you, philia. I'm like a brother in arms. And finally, Jesus asks, do you love me, philia? And Peter responds in the affirmative that he does. Now, the other thing that's going on here is maybe we're being taught something about what it means to be a pastor, which is probably important for us now as we're getting ready to call one. But a pastor is supposed to love God with a self-sacrificing love, and by extension, that love is there to care for, to tend his sheep, to nourish the lambs, to care for us old folks, and pretty much to do everything in between. But from our standpoint today, I think the important message, at least for me, is that Jesus is willing to meet Peter where he is. He's not saying automatically, you have to start off at this really high point. I know where you are. I understand it. I recognize your sorrow for what you did, your repentance, and I'm going to bring you along. So, some of you sometimes in our Bible studies have asked, how do we get from being a young Christian to being a mature Christian? And this passage involves that too. As you study, as you learn, Jesus will meet you where you are, and he will bring you along. And by the end of this passage, we see Jesus is predicting Peter's martyrdom. So Peter will go from three times denying Christ to three times saying he loves him, maybe not with that total self-denial kind of love, but in roughly 30 years, Peter is going to be, the rumors have it, you know, history, hung upside down on a cross in Rome by Nero. So Peter will have come all the way to his public declaration that, yes, Jesus is Lord and I will suffer death for him. That can happen to us. we can start as young Christians, maybe only recognizing one or two verses in the Bible, but by study, by fellowship with fellow Christians, by trying to do right, probably most of all by prayer along with reading the Bible, we will grow and we will mature so that we can be able to say, yes, Lord, I love you with agape love. But this isn't just a nice, pleasant story about how one man repented and came to believe so deeply in Jesus. It's a model for us. We may, like Peter, deny Christ. Huh, you say, no, I've never done that. I've never out loud said, I deny Christ. But I think we maybe take a few minutes of me time on the job where we're getting paid, but the boss isn't getting the work. Or maybe we join in risque banter about a coworker who appears to be different. Maybe we don't use a good reason or don't have a good reason to avoid church or other obligations that befall us as a Christian community. So in these ways, and I'm sure there are many, many more, we deny Christ. We say to the world, we say we're a Christian, but we really don't act like Christians. But as the kids say, not to worry. If we truly repent, turn our life around, pray for forgiveness, weep bitterly, as it were, like Peter did, in our sorrow for our actions, then Jesus and his Holy Spirit will lead us through the stages of love until we get to that point of self-sacrificial love, a love where we're willing to deny ourselves to help others. Now, although the Greeks had a word for parental love, it was storge, what comes to mind is a mother's love. A love that accepts us where we are, that seeks our betterment, that willingly denies herself for her children, often denying herself for children of someone else. So my prayer today is for all of us to grow in our love of Jesus so that if that terrible day comes when we must choose the world or Jesus, we will willingly give up self and choose Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the words of encouragement that the passage in John offers. Help us to really understand the true meaning of what it is to love you and to care for one another, to be open and helpful and accepting. I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're going to stand and hymn 389, Happy the Home When God Is There.